Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
Just as long as I'm here in your arms, I could be in no better place.
You've got to respect the ball.
You're simply the best.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Woo! Oh, you got to love your rugby league.
2, 3, 4.
Be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday
Sydney. And good afternoon right across the Triple M network. We are back thanks to Brydens, your lawyers on 1-800-848-848, brydens.com.au. Anthony Maroon is my name. I'll introduce the panel very shortly. Just before I do, I wanted to tell everyone what our poll is today so I can get our listeners to react to it before I ask the boys about it. Now, you can go to Triple M NRL Facebook page or at Triple M underscore NRL. Maroon's poll today, did the Dogs pay overs for Nick Kotrick? Did the Dogs pay over for Nick Kotrick? Because we're going to talk about the Dogs. We'll do a whole thing about the Dogs a little bit later on. Raiders 24, Roosters 20, Storm 42, Titans 6, Dragons 28, Dogs 22. Great win for the Dragons. I think they're now 4 of their last 6. Knights 20, Souths 18. And gutsy win for Manly last night over Parramatta, 22 points to 18. Now, I haven't said the Broncos score yet because we'll open with the Broncos. Let me introduce the panel, a former Broncos great and Origin legend, Gordon Tallis. Welcome to you.
Hey, Anthony. Good to be here.
Nice to have you in the studio 2 weeks running.
It's good to be in the studio. I was getting a bit, you know, getting a bit lonely up there in Brisbane, even though I walked into the Anthony Maroon White Ant Suite.
Yeah.
It's quite
nice.
Is it nice
there?
Oh, well, the furniture. No, you've got to sit on the floor because all the furniture breaks on taken. And, it's good to be here with you.
I'm proud of that studio. Yeah. And from NRL 360, me old mate Paul Kent.
Anthony, nice to be back after a hiatus.
Yeah. Well, whose birthday was it last week?
Paul Crawley's.
I didn't know Paul's only 50, so he's your age.
Oh, only 50?
I thought he was more like my age. He looks great. I'm not saying he looks old, but I thought he was older than that.
Smothered that.
He'll sort you out if he hears this.
Well, I'm not being disrespectful to him.
All right.
He asked me to come to the 50th.
It's a matter of interpretation, Anthony.
I said, I don't take days off from work, Paul, for your 50th.
Well, you can't afford to, Anthony.
Well, that's exactly right.
With all this COVID stuff, like I was at the pub the other day. I thought it was perfect for you. There were 6 people there, so I thought this is an ideal Anthony Maroon trivia night.
Yeah. 6 at
strong
once.
Crowd, yeah, strong crowd for you, but unfortunately, you obviously didn't get the phone call.
Well, I could have split them into 6 teams, and when the publican rang me the next day, how'd you go last night? I would say, hey, 6 teams, they're all eating.
Yeah.
And also from Fox League, James Triceps Hooper, busy week, mate.
Anthony, the king of cash. Been a good round of footy, hasn't it, too?
Yeah,
a lot to talk about. A couple upsets. The Broncos, I know you'll put them up on the hoist and put a slipper into Anthony Seibold as you like to. So, yeah, plenty to sink the teeth into.
Well, I don't want to put Anthony up on the hoist. I don't want to, but we have to talk about the Broncos because when you think it couldn't get any worse, it actually has. They've been beaten by the Tigers 48 points to nil on a wet night at Leichhardt Oval. And then I pick up the telly today. Pete Bedell and Phil Rothfield report that Anthony Seibold has been told he must win 5 of 10 games remaining to keep the job. So, Hoops, he's under no immediate threat, if you like. He's got till the end of the year, 10 more games, but he must win 5. Can I just say before I hand over to you the next few, Melbourne Sharks and South. So there's some hard games in there.
I don't think it's a correct statement to say he's not under any immediate threat. He'll be flat out hanging on to his job for the next couple of the weeks, the way that you read between the lines there, don't you reckon, Kenty?
Yeah, look, I think the whole ultimatum. Ultimatums are a shocking thing to do if you're a club. It reveals the inexperience of a club to do that. And I think the ultimatum to Anthony Seibold now that he must win 5 of the final 10 games reveals a board who does not know what it's doing. Mm-hmm. It reveals an administration with no clue. And basically what they're saying is, we don't have the guts to make the call on you, so we're going to come up with this soft soap answer that really is not a solution for anybody. 5 out of 10 in Anthony Seibold's season is not enough to satisfy anybody. Mm. It keeps him in the job. That means they don't have to sack him because he's met the number. But the fact is, That's unsatisfactory for the Broncos.
Yeah.
For where the Broncos should be and the talent they possess, that's unsatisfactory. It just shows they don't have the balls to sack him, which means tells me they're not the right people in their jobs. I think they start to need to really look at cleaning out the joint.
Well, Paul, that's where a lot of the talk's been coming. If Anthony Seibold has to go, so do whoever is responsible for hiring the bloke.
See, the thing is, look, 5 out of 10, I went through the games left, 5 out of 10 is possible with this Broncos outfit. If they find a little bit of form, it's possible. They're not going to win 7 out of 10, though. Yeah, I'll do one of your silly... Yeah, bets that go on, you know. Right. Yeah, I'll be joining you in the queue down at the
cosmetic surgery
place because they won't win 7. 5's possible though, yeah. But 3's also possible. So 5's about a pass mark. Pass mark's not acceptable, and it's not going to fix any of the problems. All it's going to do, if the Broncos win 5 games this year out of their remaining 10, all it's going to do is carry over this year's problems into next year.
Mm.
That's all it's going to do. It delays the torture. Yeah. So they've got Gordy. Who have they got coming up?
So they've got the Storm, Sharks, Rabbits, Raiders, Dragons, Roosters, Penrith, Titans, Eels and Cowboys. So you go Storm, Raiders, Roosters and Panthers. They're the top four, you would think.
And Eels.
Eels.
Sorry, Eels.
There's 5 games they won't win.
And they probably beat South in the Fair Dinkum department.
Well mate, there are chance of the
unlikely,
Sharks.
Unlikely.
Dragons, Titans and Cowboys. You would think that they're in that fight.
Well, they're 50-50 games, some of those. Like the Rabbitohs, look, they probably shouldn't win that game. The Dragons, they probably should. Titans, they should. Cowboys, depend on who turns up on the night. And Sharks are a funny game as well for them. So
you say Titans, they should, Kenny, but it wasn't that long ago that the Titans beat them. Brisbane are at the moment, I don't think there's any guarantees at all. You're right about it being weak from the leadership of the Broncos. Seibold's had a gun to his head for the last month, as it is anyway, trying to win games. But the fact that they've taken this soft option of coming out and putting a number on things, the way I read between the lines, they're trying to force him to fall on his sword, okay? He's still got this season and another 3 beyond that, staggeringly. I don't know how they ticked off on that deal. Paul Watt was the CEO. Carl Morris was the chairman. They've got to take some accountability as well here because they're the ones that put their faith in a rookie coach, and we've spoken about it on this program previously. If they'd done their homework on his CV beyond what happened at Souths when he had David Ferner, a bloke who's had experience as an NRL coach and also as an assistant coach with the Kangaroos, sitting in the cockpit next to him, they would have known that it was fraught with danger.
Look, the problem is this. When you give coaches ultimatums, and the Broncos are giving him, you need to win 5 out of 10. That's the ultimatum now. So what ends up happening now, Anthony Seibold, who for a year and a half has been telling us about how this is a long-term project, okay? He's rebuilding the Broncos. He needs a little bit of patience. He needs a little bit of time. And they are heading somewhere, and it's going to be a few hiccups early on, but trust me, we're going to get there. So that's been his message now for a season and a half. Mm. That all changes as of today because he doesn't have that plan any longer. He now has 10 weeks. So all that long-term planning goes out the window, and every decision made now is not about the long-term health of the club. It is now about the short-term health of the club, the next 10 weeks, because that's where it's all gone. I've seen coaches in the past. South Sydney were famous for it in the 90s. Given coaches older, he's got 12 weeks, he's got 6 weeks. They were doing it all the time. They're rolling over coaches every couple of years. And every coach got an ultimatum. He's got 6 weeks to come out and do something. Well, the coach will put everything into that 6 weeks. And what ended up happening often was they go all right in that period because that's when he's put all his coaching in. And if a bloke's walking around with a busted shoulder, he says, mate, I really need you back this week. We're going to noodle it up and we're going to get you back. Because he didn't have time to wait for him to heal it properly. He had to get him back before he should have come back. And so what happens, the guy gets the needle because he feels an obligation, he gets the needle, he goes out, he busts it up even worse.
Yeah.
And instead of being now out for 6 weeks with a shoulder, he's now out for 12 weeks or 15 weeks. Mm-hmm. And this is what's happening here. You're going to see this now. You're going to see all Anthony Seibold's coaching go into the next 10 weeks to the detriment of the long-term future of the club. Because that's the option you've now given him. That's the only way he saves his $800,000 a year deal.
And that's the worrying sign for me as I watched the game and Darren Lockyer come on after the show and talk to Aaron Mullen on Channel 9. And they asked him, he goes, Seibold still hasn't got the roster that he wants.
Oh, please.
Well, let me tell you, the roster that he's going and the players that he's picking, that's an art form in itself. Picking players that win games of footy. What does he want? Does he want a kindergarten? Does he want a under 16 team? Broncos under 16s runner. It is a very inexperienced side. And if you win five games, which I hope they do, they've won eight for the season.
Seven, would it not be?
No, because
they've already won three, have they? Mm.
They won the first two, I think, Cowboys, South and Bulldogs are the three games that they've won. That means a Broncos side that runs out, that should be top four, I believe, and Wayne Bennett believed that that's the roster that he would have been playing finals with. We win eight games and that's a thumbs up.
Well, Gordon, you talk about that roster. You've only got to go back to when Anthony Seibold, and he agitated to get a release from Redfern.
Yeah.
As soon as the deal was done with the Broncos, Souths were happy for him to stay, but he was desperate to get up there and do a swap with Wayne Bennett because he wanted to get his hands on that Ferrari of a roster. And that year, in February of last year, Andrew Johns came out and said, I believe this roster is capable of winning a competition.
Well, Peter Bedell writes in the paper today, and you forget so much that's happened up there, but you get rid of McCulloch. Then you sign a hooker that's 3 years older than him.
Mm.
You bring in Ben Tuer for experience, but now they're looking for some more experience to help these young kids. You put Carrigan as a captain. Shane Webke never captained that club.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, I mean, when you've got Darius Boy there that has played in grand finals and played in big games, he would have been better facing the media.
Well, it's embarrassing that Darius didn't stick his hand up at this time in need for the club as a former captain.
Because they've been trying to say,
you know what, I know, I gave the captaincy away, but I can see we're in a hole here. Give it to me for the last. Fancy giving it to Patrick Carrigan.
Mm. who 25 games.
He's now captain of the Broncos. Look, the problem that nobody wants to address up there is the fact that Seibold will say right now, last night he walks in and he talks about how young the roster is. Well, it was him that got rid of the older players. Mm. If you can't get rid of all your experienced players,
That's not an excuse.
Penrith
have 400 games less running out this afternoon and are in the top four. 400 games less.
Yeah, well, that's...
You know what I mean? So hey, if you're playing first grade, you've been picked. He thinks you can do the job. That's not an excuse. And then every time they get the blowtorch put on them, they fail. And that's your job as a coach to build them for that moment so they overcome the hurdles. And they're not going to hit, you know, and they're not going to get over them, and they're going to hit a few of them, but they haven't jumped one.
But he'll do something like a few weeks back, everyone said, mate, what about Tom Deard? Because Brodie Croft and Milford are playing terribly in the halves. And so a couple of people, Tom Deard, 18 years old, on the way up, everyone says potential very representative player, right? What about Tom Deard and Siebes? Too young. I don't want to bring an 18-year-old kid into a losing team. That's fair enough. That's logical. Yep. Okay. So the next week, he's got the fullback in, 18 years old.
Mm.
Tessie New. So he brings him in a week later. 18-year-old fullback in. So hang on. So you don't want to bring the 18-year-old halfback in, but fullback, which is equally as vital in the modern game, he brings an 18-year-old fullback in. Then the following, what's he do? Because they lost again. Puts Dearden on the bench. Well, hang on. A fortnight ago, you didn't want to bring him into a losing team. 2 weeks later, two losses later, you now bring him into the team. He comes in, plays one game off the bench.
Plays him at hooker,
and he doesn't make the team the next week.
There's no leadership.
Tell me where. So this is the plan. This is what. Where? What is it? What? Explain this to me. But see, as I said, for the whole game so far, the pitch from Seibold is, I've got a plan. You guys can't see it. Leave it to me. I've got 5 years here. At the end of the 5 years, we're going to be in premiership contention, okay? And everybody, nobody knows. So you've got to trust him. But then suddenly, and the board, which the whole way through have been backing him on this plan, okay, despite the fact that it makes no sense, have been backing him because the board don't really know. They're sitting there trying to figure out what he's doing. They probably don't know themselves. They know he's the wrong man for the job. They haven't got the guts to sack him. They've realised that now. So what they've done is, okay, we haven't got the guts to sack him. So you know what we'll do? This is what we're going to do. We're going to show everyone, we're going to be clever here. We're going to give him the final 10 games. We're going to say, you've got to win five. That way, he either starts coaching and wins a few games, or he makes a decision for us. He doesn't win the five. Then we say, well, we told him he had to win five. He has to go. But what they've done, though, is they've now sabotaged the long-term thinking of the club.
And there's no leadership whatsoever in that game. When they're behind the line, and I was calling it with Dobbo and it just hit. It was like the biggest beacon I've ever seen thrown at me. There was not one person talking. You saw Trbojevic in the dressing room last night, laying down the law, telling them what they do, right? And they run out. They're standing there. They're all facing the bloke kicking the ball. There wasn't one person turning, making his teammate accountable for the mistakes or the try that was just scored. So go on, you go.
I was going to say, Payne Haas is probably the only guy that has a bit of a chat. You can see he's disgusted sometimes at some of the defensive efforts. The guy who should be picking him up at that point is Darius Boyd, who is the 350-game or whatever he is. He should be the one picking him up.
Sorry, Paul, I didn't want to interrupt you, mate, but when you finish, I've got some Darius audio there.
Yeah, he should be the one picking him up, but you know why Darius is not the one behind the try line talking to him? Because Darius is the one letting them through.
Mm.
And Darius's defensive efforts are disgraceful, and the club needs to have a very quick chat to Darius and say, mate, you need to figure out whether you want to be a Broncos footballer or whether you want to be retired, because you can't be both, mate, and right now that's what you're doing. Mm. He's just sitting out there on that edge, picking up his pay packet, and if it gets a little bit too physical, if it's not to his liking, guys, come through. We'll just come from behind.
Let me just play that audio now. This is Darius Boyd after the Tigers flogged them.
Yeah, it's disappointing. It's not acceptable, not good enough, but it's something that's been a bit of our season this year, and it's something that's it's disappointing because we have a lot of support at home, a lot of fans that love the Broncos, has a rich history, and we keep saying that, so it's not an excuse. It's not something that the fans are probably going to accept, and that's fine, because it's hard being out there as a player and tossing up some of the performance we're tossing up as well, myself included. It's disappointing, but sometimes you feel a bit lost. Where do you go to next?
So are you saying the team's lost at this stage of the season?
I'm not saying the team's lost. I just said from a perspective of looking where to go to next. I mean, we've had some disappointing losses this year by big score lines, and you can cop a loss, but when you're losing by 30-plus points a couple of times in a row or consistently, then you really need to look at some answers and some changes, and I don't know what that is, because we talk the right things at training, we do the right things, we work hard, but in the day it's a results-driven game, and we're not getting those results, so we need to do something.
What will the coach say in the sheds?
What did he say?
What will he say?
I don't know. There's not much to be said, really. We talk a lot. We talk about the right things to do, but end of the day, it's an action sport, and it's action business. We've got to go out there and perform each week and on the weekends, and we're not doing that at the moment, and it's really disappointing.
Okay, that's Darius Boyd after the Tigers lost. By the way, Broncos fans, 133353, if you want to have your say on the Broncos, the players, or the coach or whatever, because I was in Brisbane through the week and a lot of people were howling on the players as well. What did you want to say, Gordy?
I think I've been disappointed as well. So on Friday night, I had to check myself, and at halftime, I think it was 26-0, I took my headphones off and I said to the producer, I can't be negative, because I was just so disappointed. Ben Hennett, who played for the club and won a grand final, like, we're sitting there and we don't want to be throwing stones, but you got to talk about the truth that is happening at the club, because there's not too much coming out. And I reckon there's been a lot of disappointments when I'm walking the streets, and it's all about the Broncos. I reckon I was at a function last night. It's a turn to anger. You know, there's a bit of anger, mate. What's going to happen? Like, what's, you know what I mean? Like, and they're starting to throw their hands up in here. And one thing that Darius got left out of what he said is said, we were in the game. We started really good until they scored their first try. It was in the 10th minute.
Mm. Yeah, and the thing is,
the 10th minute they were in a game.
Seibold said after the game, one of the things that he said, there's no resilience there.
Mm.
Well, you know what? I don't care how young your squad is, and I don't care how old it is, and I don't care how much money, who's on $1 million and who's on $100,000. More than anything, what is missing from the Broncos is effort. And Seibold, when your back's against the wall and you're not playing well, that's the first thing you go to. Wayne Bennett, that's why he survived so long.
Effort,
because when he goes through bad periods, he dumbs down the game plan and he says, guys, I don't want to see anything out of here tonight, except I want to watch you go out and bust your backside and have a go.
And they keep on saying that they're shooting themselves in the foot. That's where they made one more mistake than the West Tigers. One more. They got beaten by 48-0.
Mm.
And they missed five more tackles than the West Tigers. So that shows stats-wise. And then
running meters were embarrassing for a Broncos side.
Well, because they got Payne Haas, right?
Hoops.
Yeah. But, and because I think he's struggling as a coach, you've got Payne Haas, that he's got to save him from himself. That poor Payne Haas is trying to keep up with a guy in the paper And we've all done it in the past. Oh, mate, I play 80 minutes. I'm such an endurance big fella that plays quality minutes. He's saving himself. His first run, he puts on the 1-2 step. He's not coming off the back fence, laying the platform, lodges out. And then Pangai Jr. last week was brilliant. So in his head, well, I've got to start offloading a footy because that's what probably he was told all week because it was successful. You got to earn the right. The Broncos didn't earn the right going through the middle. Packer and Ueli. Oh, I'm sorry.
Josh Aloye
were absolutely outstanding, got bumps and bruises and went through the middle and took the Broncos back on. Someone needs to stand up to him.
Boys, well, the phones have got... Sorry, Hoops, go for your life.
Let me ask you this, Gordon. From an outside point of view, I've never seen a Broncos side put the white flag up ever. No. But on Friday night, the flag was up, the towel was in. They were not having a crack.
No. They did it when they got beat 59-0 by the Roosters. They did it when they got 58-0 by Parramatta.
But not so early. Look, I reckon they might have with 20 to go, but it went up earlier. It went up before halftime.
Boys, do you want to take some of these calls here? The phones have gone absolutely berserk, not only Brisbane, but all around Australia. People wanting to have their say on the Broncos. That's what we're talking about here. 1-3-3-5-3. James, what did you want to say, mate?
Mate, all I want to say, basically, I've loved this club for a very, very long time. I've been New South Wales, you know, lived in New South Wales my whole life. I grew up watching the Tarrases, watching the Pedros, Webkeys, Ben Hannett, all these boys, laying a platform for the lads to come out the back. You know, that run off the back fence was a Broncos specialty. When we're in time of need, who do we turn to? The Tarrases, the Webkeys, the Pedros. You know, these guys do really, really well. Where is that now? Payne Husher, exactly. You hit the nail on the head when you said that he's not running off the back fence. That kid off the back fence will destroy teams. And it's proven. He got, you know, picked for New South Wales. Where's the heart in the Broncos? You know, this is, I grew up wanting to play football to be like Wendell Saylor, because Wendell Saylor had the passion, you know, they called himself the jewel. I love that, you know, that's perfect. It's a good attitude. Where is that charisma now? Where is that person saying to the Broncos, oi, you, pull your head in, let's go, this is what we're going to do. You've got a coach that's sitting in a box that looks like a stunned mullet every time the camera goes to him, and he's sitting there going, boys, what are we looking at next? He's trying to be like a, you know, I shouldn't say this, but a Wayne Bennett sits there very, you know, within himself. He knows what's got to do. He knows what the next play is. Seabold doesn't. Yeah. And this is upsetting. You know, Rabbitohs, brilliant roster. Love that roster. If I had coached the Rabbitohs when Seabold took over, I would have won a premiership. You can't, you know, anyone would have. Anyone with half an idea. Why did the Broncos throw so much money at him?
Yeah,
why?
Well said, James. I know, mate. He's very passionate there about his Broncos. A stunned mullet. I will say.
It was more of a puffer fish.
Mm. That's old school, that is, the old stunned mullet.
I was in Redfern Street, Redfern, this morning, and the Rabbitohs fans are absolutely feeling for Siebes at the moment. They feel absolutely terrible. 1-3-3-5-3. Sean's in Brizzy. What did you want to say, Sean?
Yeah, hello, boys. Love the show. I've just had an absolute gutful of these blokes up the top, the Karl Marx and Karl Morris.
No, just
Karl
call Morris him Marx. Mate, he'll change his name in a month anyway.
Hello, and Paul White and Anthony Sears. It's like there's this little boys club. The fans are screaming for change and they're in this little bubble where they're not doing anything. Yeah. And I'm passionate. Like the last caller, you know, I grew up in the backyard, I was Michael Hancock and my brother was Willie Kahn and of this club. And it's just gone to it's lost. It's completely lost. And, you know, Darren Lockyer, he's up there as well. He's a part of it. I love Darren Lockyer, but it's almost like there's this smugness and this ego there that they don't want to admit they're wrong. And the club's just falling to pieces.
Yeah, good on you. Thank you, Sean.
And Darren Lockyer was a legend player. It's not going on his leadership on the field, but off the field, there's no success rate for him in business. I don't know what he's got. And as an administrator, it's a totally different ball game. Mm. As Darren Lockyer, as administrator, he's in the leadership group. There's no leadership at the club. Mm. If he's in the leadership group, There's actually no leadership. There's no one.
Since he retired, he's been riding shotgun with Paul White, who's the CEO.
But Paul White should go.
And during
Paul
that time,
the most unsuccessful.
Well, they've sacked
Broncos coach, I mean CEO, probably
they've
of all time.
They've sacked three coaches already. If they sack Seibold, it'll be four during Paul White's tenure. And in that same period, they've had five coaches.
And it's not personal. Paul
and
White.
And they've made one grand final.
Yeah, I was about to say no premierships.
Yeah. All right, boys, we'll take this last one, will we? 133353. Back to Sydney. Josh in Bondi even wants to have his say. What are you saying, Josh?
G'day, fellas. Look, I just want to say, first of all, I love the passion from the first call. It sounds like it needs to be in the Broncos sheds at half-time. That being said, my old man's been a Broncos supporter. He said it short, sharp and sweet the other night. He said he's not even angry. He's just bloody disappointed, mate. Mm. He pointed directly to one of the tries the other night where Brody Croft didn't even put his arm out. He just leant into it and blokes were walking over. I mean, that's the sort of stuff that you'd seen. You know, park footy, it's pretty crap, mate. It's pretty crap, and I'm glad I
Good on you, Josh. Thank you for your call.
If you went to the Waterloo Waratahs or out to Roma or wherever you go and you're watching park footy, there's going to be a guy that works really hard all week and wherever he comes from, and you see him put on the boots and he runs out there and he has more of a go. You know what I mean? He puts his body on the line, and that's the thing that I'm getting back from people. You know, even park footy players who don't get paid the money would be having more of a go and have more pride in their performance. And I think they're lost. I think they need a different voice. I said I was sorry for the players 6 weeks ago, but they're not helping themselves now. You know what I mean? I think that they've given in, you know?
I remember back in 2006, Gordon, and you'd not long been retired, and the Broncos lost five games
and
leading into the final series, right? And Wayne wouldn't say the word slump. Anyway, I'm at this press conference at Suncorp Stadium, and they've lost number five, and we said to Wayne, how would you describe that? And the difference was in this loss, they'd had a red hot dig. Like they had a crack, and it was the type of performance that you always expect from Broncos teams that run out. And Wayne said the operation was a success, but the patient died. Which, you know, was a classic Wayne, one of the lines that he loves to roll out when he gets asked one of those style of questions. But, you know, when you think back to that time and then you think back up until the time when Wayne took them into the grand final in 2015, the Broncos have always played a very similar style of football, very simple, all based around effort, all based around events, all based around working for your mate. But since Seibold's got there, he's blown it all up.
Yeah.
And I reckon that's where the players are lost, to your point about them being lost. I think that's where the confusion
but
has
set in.
But
they should have it by now. He's had 18 months there. Yeah, he had a whole off season. So the first year he goes, because he come in late, I think he might have come around in December. So last year, you know, the way they finished, I thought, there's a few bells ringing. They weren't alarmed, but there's a few bells.
58-0
against Parramatta.
So then that shows the blowtorch. So you think in the off season they would have worked hard. So that position that they got themselves in on.
Gordy, after a 58-0 loss in a semi-final, the thing you go away and work on that summer is your resilience. What did he say was missing last night? Resilience. We're halfway through the season. It's got worse.
Yeah.
You don't go and get beat. With due respect to West Tigers, you don't get beat 48-0 by West Tigers in wet weather footy.
All right,
Madge is trying to change that about the West Tigers. Madge is trying to change that.
Oh, I know you said with due respect.
Here we go, boys.
Madge is setting about fixing that.
Congratulations, too, to Madge and the West Tigers. Yeah. We didn't say that. 48-0 to Lee and all the team at the Tigers. Great win. Let's take a break and we'll lighten things up a little bit. A gutsy effort from Manly last night with so many players out to beat Parramatta and give the opportunity for Panthers to take the competition lead. We'll talk about Manly Eels next as Triple M rocks the footy.
Thanks to McDonald's. Footy.
Welcome back to it. It's Sunday NRL, the Sunday Sinbin, thanks to our mates at Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. And boys, what about that win from the Manly side last night? I don't think too many people gave them a hope. Obviously, their record without Tommy Trbojevic in the side, but they did get a couple back last night, and they kind of just got Parramatta a little off guard.
Can you just finish that tune of souffle before you have to announce things?
I'm sorry about that.
I just got off a plane
and I just...
Got off a plane. Mate, you're not supposed to be travelling. Where have you been?
Oh, I'm doing some charity work. But
charity work where?
Yeah. I don't want to give myself a rap.
Mate, you're not supposed to be in a state, mate.
Let's declare the urn,
mate.
You can go to Queensland, mate.
Oh, okay. You're supposed to isolate when you...
You can just go there now.
Oh, can you?
I've been there twice this
really?
Week.
All those borders getting, you know, those big barriers getting put up on the border and all that, that's just irrelevant, is it? That's just for show.
Well, I can tell you now, Paul, I don't know where you've been for the last week. You can now travel into Queensland as long as you pass
without
the
quarantine.
Yes.
And you don't have to quarantine once you're in Queensland?
No, you just go, as long as you fill out this form and show the guy at the airport.
Mm. Right, okay. Mm.
Yeah. So everything.
The one with the A on it.
I think it's got a G on it.
Oh, mine had an A on it.
Mm.
How much was the charity earn?
It wasn't an earn, it was for charity. I don't want to wrap myself. Please. I don't want to wrap myself.
Well, you should when you get the chance, because there's not much there to wrap.
I don't want to get off the point.
Never knock it up. I'll give you some advice, Anthony.
Okay.
If you don't play your own trumpet, no one ever hears any music.
I know, but mate, I'm happy to just plot along and take the ball up and help people wherever I can. That's why they call it. Right. That's the G form.
Okay. Yeah. So you're out there. You're available, free for anybody that needs help.
No, good. Not anything. Completely
you.
Wrong.
No,
that's completely
what
wrong.
You just said.
I've got a couple of charities that I help, and
are they?
Well, I don't have to say what they are.
Because you just made them up.
Why wouldn't
you
give them a free plug? Charities would love a free plug because that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Somebody, and it's just
that's
about their awareness,
for.
About who cares.
That's what they
you
battle
know,
for.
Care.
They battle for
all
exposure.
The who cares? Yep.
And now they're getting the free hit up and you're knocking them back.
Smart Pups, Ronald McDonald House, they're the charities I'm with. So what charities are you with?
Gordon, I don't want a spruik. I don't want to. I just do
the
my little bit
would love you.
Behind the scenes.
He's with Rocket Industries Charity.
We've only been going for half an hour. Do you think you could concentrate just for a little bit longer?
To your point about Tommy Turbo, you actually made a very good point about football. Manly hadn't won a game, so he's been missing for the last three and then clearly was missing again last night, but they were back at Brookvale and what a performance. Desi had him wound up. Marty Tapau scored the opening couple of minutes. DCE bounced back from a poor performance by his standards last weekend and they scored one of the upsets of the season over Parramatta, who had only lost one game to date. So it was a big performance by the Seagulls. Great win.
Boys, any you like to elaborate? You see the game? What the Wonga Blake try? Did you think that was a try? Do you think he stopped?
No, it wasn't.
You don't think it was a try?
No, it wasn't. It was a strip.
Yeah.
Look, Marty Tapau is entitled to try and pass the ball, and Wonga Blake just took it out of his hands. Now, they argued it was a loose carry. It was a loose carry because he was looking to offload.
Yeah.
So he's got the ball out looking to offload, and Wonga Blake's just taken it straight out of his hand. If it was one-on-one, fine. But it was a two-on-one strip. It was... I honestly thought this is just, in rugby league way, this is just another blow-up. Manly played so bravely for so long, and then all of a sudden there was going to be this try that wasn't a try, should never have been a try, was going to turn the game around, Parramatta jag it right at the end, and Manly, against all odds, lose the game that they fought so bravely to win. That wasn't a try, that was a mistake, and it's embarrassing once again that the video referee, the bunker, got it wrong.
Did you see the game at all, Gordon?
No, I didn't. I was at a function last night, but I watched the
a charity function. And, you might want to know.
Might have been at the one I was at.
Yeah, no, probably not, because it didn't exist.
It was legitimate.
No, I didn't see you.
Because
you had to pay to get in, and you were on the door. You're the doorman.
Let's just be clear. It's only 36 minutes after we started. You can all get stuff. Right? Whether I did a charity night last night or not is none of your business. I'm here now, right? Paul Kent, you weren't even here last week. You've only got to do 2 hours a week, and you couldn't turn up because it was one of your boyfriend's birthdays on the Central Coast.
Well, you wouldn't understand, Anthony.
No, I wouldn't understand.
See?
Well,
friends do things for each other, Anthony. That's what happens. That's the way of the world.
Well, I wouldn't know about that.
No, exactly.
Certainly not in here.
No, you don't have any mates.
Certainly not in here. Yeah. Well, anyway,
we call you Anthony No Mates.
Is that what you call me behind the
Matt
back?
From Collaroy, he agrees.
Here we go.
Here we go. Matt from Collaroy says, "Can you guys laugh, Anthony? Give credit where it's due. I put on the charity function last night and he was outstanding. While I have you, can you ask Anthony to check the roll? I suspect I may have been shortchanging him $200. Just check your roll then.
Mate, if that's the Matt from Collaroy I know, you'd be flat out getting $200 out of him, let alone being $200 shy. Do you guys want to talk about footy at all or do you want to talk about...
I like bagging you.
Yeah, well, okay, keep going. I can take it. But let me just be clear with you, Paul Kent.
Yes.
You are going back on the list of people I backstab when I get home tonight. You were off the list... Probably because you weren't here last week, but now you're back on the list.
I, like many people, didn't listen to the show last week when I wasn't on it.
Mm.
I got a lot of reports though from people saying that you just spent the entire day just bagging me.
No, I didn't, mate. They were bagging you. I was. All right, boys. I'm going to take a break. We're going to settle this off air. All right. And when we come back, we're going to talk about
There'll
football.
There'll be only three of us.
That's Triple M rocks the footy.
Sunday Sydney.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back to it. Yes, we've all sorted that little problem out. Everything is put to bed. And the boys will be towing the line a little bit here.
I can't wait for the next
I've just gone out there and said to our producer, the great Tom Birmingham, if you don't want me to go over to Macquarie Sports Radio, what you've left of it, I'll need you to pull these guys into line. Mm. So, which he did. Mm. So, boys, Manly, let's try again. A great win for Manly.
Charge.
Yeah, he gave me a cab charge. Bus fare. Manly.
Great win.
Yeah.
It was a trademark win for Des Hasler. It was one of those things that he'll put in his scrapbook. And what we saw out of Manly was just, we opened the show for the first half hour talking about what we haven't seen out of the Broncos. Well, exactly what the Broncos need, we saw in Manly last night. They were brave. They were committed. They had a poor game last week. I thought last week they overtried. I don't think they lost the game because they were
diabolical.
They just overtried last week. You saw Cherry Evans just dropping balls that he wouldn't normally. It's because he was trying so hard. So I think Des Hasler just spent the week pumping up their confidence, showing them the good things they did, saying, guys, it's not as bad as the scoreline indicated. Don't let anyone convince you otherwise. You're in this game against Parramatta. We're a chance here. Showed them the good things they did last time they played against Parramatta, and we know they had a vastly different side. And last night, I tell you what, they just put Parramatta on the back foot from the opening whistle, and Parramatta, they were just off tilt the whole night. They just couldn't figure it out.
And the image for Parramatta fans is Bradley Parker hitting Siva.
Mm.
In the last month of football, wingers and centres are coming in and hitting a 5-8 to stay away from him because he's just such a, like, he's a granite. You know, like, he's just so hard. He's scored so many tries. And you just see a guy, and he's a lesser name in the game, just fly at him, put his body on the line with a chance of getting bumped off like Tedesco or even knocked out, and he takes down like the giant of the game. It was so for Manly fans, that was the attitude. That just summed up their whole performance.
It was magnificent. The way they committed themselves, Manly, and went out and did it. Cherry Evans was just superb last night. He played so well. And Marty Tapau, like, wow. Like, Manly are a different side when he's on. Their momentum changes. He goes out. He did it last week too, but unfortunately things just went a little bit awry. But last night he went out and he just made it personal with the Parramatta pack. He almost, look, I don't want to say he went one man out because he had Jake Trbojevic there as well, and obviously a few other blokes, you know, Thompson.
I reckon you can throw out too. Who really stood up last night was Curtis Sirenin and Joel Thompson. Sirenin for me does it every week, but I thought Thompson had one of his better games in a Manly jumper.
They played well, but I thought Marty Power just, he made it personal. He went after Parramatta. I love front rowers who go after their opposition and want their opposition to know they're going after them.
Mm.
Mm. It's outstanding.
Yeah, they put the challenge to them. And Marty and Fenua Blake does it as well when he's playing. But I think the best prop combination in the game. But without his offsider there last night, Tapau just went after him. And he just put it to Parramatta. And Parramatta have had a pack who have been dominating packs all year. And Tapau just made it personal.
You, if you're a footy player and you don't get confidence, and it's the best thing you can see on the field, is your front rower taking a hit up and knocking the other front rower on his backside and just the sweat coming off his head. You haven't played in big games because Shane Webke used to give me my confidence and Glenn Lazarus and Petro, because what happens is if they get knocked on their ass,
if
they get stopped dead, you're running around behind them to take the next
you're
hit up thinking, here we go. If our big guy just got knocked over, if our leader of the forward pack just got put on his ass, I don't know what's going to happen to me. And that's what happens last night, is your front rowers. And I think it's gone back to a bit of old school, that old school feeling out process. Some teams are still trying to pass around them. And we watched Brisbane do it the other night. Instead of your front rowers playing like front rowers.
Well, you see Tapau, Gordy, but the other string to his bow, though, and Jake Trbojevic, we know, has got great hands. And it's got a wonderful ability, Jake. If they're defending against Jake, looking for him to pass, he'll just punch forward and just do a tough run, get up, quick play the ball, and then Manly coming on the back of it. Or if they're looking for, if they're jamming up, looking for a run off him, He'll take a few steps and then he'll offload and he'll push the ball around them. But Tapau's brought this little offload to his game, but he always thinks run first. He's always run first, damage first. So he punches into the defensive line, and then as they're trying to get him to the ground, he then has this ability to look around and can offload, which it's so undervalued in the game, the offload from a forward hitting it up like, because if, essentially, once you start to tackle him, the rest of the team starts to move back because they think he's going to get tackled. If he then gets an offload, well, hang on, they've got to come back up again. It's in effect giving you an extra tackle in your set. Because that's how the defense has responded to it. It's so valuable in your attack to have a front row that can do that. And he does it. He damages you. He'll just punch a hole in you, hurt you defensively. He'll hurt you when he's running the ball. And then when you think you've wrapped him up, he'll pop an offload and suddenly you've got to make an extra tackle.
Well, like we all know, I think he deadlifts over 300 kilos, whatever. So he's a super strong guy. So when he hits, he's got all that punch. So he wins the first collision. And that's when you've won that battle. But then when they come back to have the second chat, he's got this ability to use his body and his limbs just to hold him off. And then as they're trying to pull him because he's walking forward and his teammates are there and he's beaten
they're
one guy
off him.
And he's won that little bit of contact, that's when the ball gets popped, which is, mate, it's just so valuable.
There was a bit of karma too from the football gods because last time they played out at Bankwest, closing stages of the game, Manly score a legit try every day of the week, gets called back for a forward pass. Bunker can't rule on forward passes, but Blind Freddy could have told you that the pass was perfect and was as clean as a whistle. So the Seagulls did get a little bit of a square up there. I love the vision as well of Jake Trbojevic at halftime, where even though the Seagulls were in front on the scoreboard, you know, we often talk about leadership. That's leadership. He's in the sheds and you could really see what it meant to him that they were playing at home, they're in front of their home crowd, they don't lose at Lotto Land, they don't lose at Brookvale Oval, and they went out and they got the job done.
Okay, and the next game up, boys, is Cowboys next Friday night. Now, there's a little bit of whispering coming out of the Cowboys at the moment, which we might get to later about the future of their coach. But, boys, while we're on the subject of patting blokes on the back, we talked about how bad the Broncos were the other night, but what about the Tigers? They put 48 points on and we never give them a rap, we never give them a mention.
I only give Billy Walters and Kevy calling his son's name the class that he did it, but the try that he scored when he went past, and that's a coach's try, because Benji Marshall the other week, and you'd know more about this, Hoops, Madge has just set a standard no matter who you are, no matter how many games you played, no matter what you've done in the game, if you don't want to abide by the standards that I've set for this team, you are not going to play. Like Brooks, he got put on the sideline because his defence was really poor the week before. You could just see in the effort.
That's coaching.
They're going to make mistakes. But their intent was we're going to go through the Broncos. Billy's first run, he tries to step and I think Big Pain has hits him and the ball gets lodged out. But he keeps on going through. Then he starts setting up plays. Benji's kicking game was good. But if you wanted the ball, you go forward. Don't go try to put on all this pretty stuff. I don't want to watch that if you're not prepared to get bruises, because the pretty stuff can come at the end. Brisbane are trying to play too pretty without getting the bruises, where the Tigers got so many bruises, but the points come as well. Luciano had a great game, didn't he? Brilliant on the edge, wasn't he? It looks like he's starting to get his fitness and his confidence, because he's always had that ability and we just saw him do a one or two efforts, but just to stay in the game and just keep on repeating his effort because he's so raw and robust.
The irony too of last night was
Friday night.
Friday night. Michael Maguire was actually going after the Broncos job.
Yes.
A couple of years back. Felt that he was already a decision made for that they wanted Seibold to just slide on in, so he pulled out. Given what we're seeing out of the Tigers, if he was coaching the Broncos now, they'd be top four.
Oh, 100%.
And there's also 100%. A lot of history between Michael Maguire and Anthony Seibold in that they spent time at South Sydney together, they'd spent time at Melbourne together. Madge hasn't spoken to Seibold since Madge got the sack from South Sydney.
Wow.
Because he's filthy about the way that it was all handled.
Maroon, did he?
hang on.
Is that what you're trying to insinuate?
What brought me into this, mate?
Oh, because...
Now, I'm asking you a serious question.
Because he thought he got white ant, and there's only one in Sydney in Redfern.
Okay.
So someone's taken over your role in Redfern.
I'm going to give you blokes a bit of space next hour to come up with who I have actually white anted. And before we go to a break, I think I know the answer here, Hoops, but I got to ask the question. Is there any chance the Tigers can keep Harry Grant?
Well, if you listen to Harry's press conference last week, He came out, and I love the way that he handled it. He said, no, the deal was I am on loan, and part of the arrangement is that I return to Melbourne. Now, there was one line in there that where I think he said at this point in time or at this stage or something like that, which Tigers fans, of course, are going to hang on to that and hope because he got...
You have cut that it Harry, and put it on your wall, haven't you, Hibs?
Oh, I love the bloke, mate. He's clearly...
Are you going to love him next year when he's playing against you?
Well, you'll have to. Look, he's done such a great job in a short period of time, Gordon. He's changed the way that the team plays. You look at... You spoke about the contribution of Billy Walters and Benji Marshall on Friday night. I thought Benji and Harry Grant were the best players on the field by a fair way.
You just know it's Harry's team, though. Like, watching he just does what he wants, and then you've got to play off the back of it.
Well, the way he brings the pack onto the ball and the halves onto the ball, and everything's fast. Everything's flat, fast, and off the front foot. And that's very hard to coach out of dummy halves. He's a very naturally talented player, and he's clearly... You can see why Matty Johns has wrapped him up for as long as he has, he hadn't even played an NRL game. Mm. He's going to be a very, very good player for a long time.
And talking about administration... That is a tough decision. You've got Cameron Smith, who's going to have a statue at every ground he's played at. He is arguably one of the greatest players that we've played. Some say the greatest.
He's not arguably. He is one of the greatest.
Yeah, but the greatest.
Yep.
He's at Melbourne Storm. He has been Melbourne Storm. Everybody, and they're still successful with a chance of winning the comp. Hmm. Do they ask him to move on?
I don't think you can. No, I don't think you can. Given everything that he's given to that club and the game, what's he played 420 NRL games now?
They won't do that. The issue of the Storm will be not next year. Even if Cameron plays, it won't be next year. It'll be the year after, because Brandon Smith and Harry Grant both want to play hooker.
Mm. Maybe you could get him a job at the Titans, captain coach.
Well, so I believe only one of them will be at Melbourne in 2022. So right. Harry Grant might say, well, okay, I'm not going to go back for 1 year. And if they pick Brandon Smith over me, the problem for Harry Grant is not Cameron Smith, it's Brandon Smith.
Yeah.
So, and if he thinks that they're going to pick Brandon Smith ahead of him, which Brandon Smith has made it clear he wants to settle in a hooker once Cameron's gone. If he wants to do that, then Harry might say, well, you know, I'm better off staying at West Tigers.
Boys,
right now where I'm comfortable, I'm learning about footy, I've got a good coach in Michael Maguire, and we're a club that's you can see that they're actually moving somewhere. Or if he thinks he's going to get the job off Brandon Smith, and Brandon Smith might be the one that moves on, then he goes back to Melbourne.
And I've heard it more than once that Cameron Smith may be to one of the Queensland clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that has been... I'm glad you raised that, Gordon.
Look, it
that
just keeps on coming
up. Over the course of last month, and I'm not saying that there's any credence in this at all, but I know, but you hear just, a lot of things around the game, and I have heard that...
But this is where master white-handers, like Anthony... Right? Mm. They put these little rumours out and they just put them in the breeze and they just let them just go. Like, it gets on Twitter and it does a lap around the world on Twitter.
And the narrative comes off.
And then it comes back and everyone says, hang on, I read this 3 weeks ago and now it's back. It must be true. Boys, it's just done a lap.
If I could just get you, when I just wave my hand like I have been for 10 minutes, we'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll have a look at this. There's a game kicking off at 2. Warriors Sharks as Triple M rocks the footy.
Thanks to McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.